Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, my colleague and friend. And we're very pleased to be joined by Professor Jim Holmes of the U.S. Navy War College, writing most recently at the National Interest of the spring of 1989 and a disaster on a very famous ship, the USS Iowa. Jim, recover the backstory for us before we plunge into the burning controversy today. Good evening to you. What happened?
Hey, John. Hey, Gordon. Pleasure to be with you as always. Yeah, the facts of the case are pretty straightforward as far as what happened. The Iowa was conducting gunfire exercises near Puerto Rico, which is what we used to go to do such things. And they were doing they had an explosion in the second turret. There are three turrets on a battleship, each sporting three main guns, three big guns, about 67 feet long. They suffered an explosion in the center gun room, and it killed 47 sailors, basically in the sixth floor gun turret. And it set off a huge controversy because the Navy tried to blame it on the gun captain. The enlisted gunner's mate in charge of the gun claimed he was gay, and his lover had jilted him and so forth, and therefore it was a murder suicide. It turned out, however, that they were doing unauthorized experiments with the numbers of gunpowder bags and so forth. They were using an unauthorized number of those, another authorized type of gunpowder with one of the 2,700-pound armor-piercing shells, a condition that the Navy had expressly forbidden because it was dangerous, but they were doing it anyway. So that was obviously part of the stake that came out during the post-explosion controversy.
So the explosion itself is determined to have been that experiment. There's no doubt about that.
No, there's no way you'll ever know for sure simply because we weren't there. But what happened was the Navy commissioned an investigation that was unable to replicate the conditions for an explosion in the turret that morning. So that was when they started turning to conspiracy theories about sailors being suicidal and murderous and so forth. However, what happened was Congress and especially Senator Sam Nunn they commissioned a second competing investigation from Sandia National Laboratories, which is one of our elite nuclear weapons facilities, and they actually were able to replicate the conditions for an explosion under certain very limited circumstances. They calculated that there was sort of like a 1 in 16 to a 1 in 70 chance of an explosion. Well, that's not too much in an individual gun shoot, but if you're shooting the guns hundreds of times, that becomes significant, and that's sort of where we left off today. We'll never know what 100%, but it seemed like the Sandia people called it correctly.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
So this was a failure in the chain of command, I guess, of senior leaders to supervise. Is that right?
Well, there was that. I mean, in a sense, the senior leadership doesn't really call the shots on a daily basis on a ship out at sea. It's been said that the commanding officer of a ship is the last absolute despot on planet Earth, simply because he's out of touch with his superiors. I would actually fault the Navy leadership for how it handled the aftermath. Basically trying to point fingers, digging in its heels on this theory for which there was very little evidence aside from some residue that within the turret that Sandia ultimately established was just routine stuff found in all battleship gun rooms. And they just basically covered themselves with shame. In my view, never ever default to blaming your fallen shipmate for what may happen unless you're really sure you've got the goods. They had very little evidence to support that theory.
The USS Iowa is the first of its class, the Iowa battleship, which is why I've heard it before, but not about the USS Iowa itself. It's from the Second War. It's the big gun club. Where is it now, Jim, and what happens to Iowa?
Yeah, I was. Well, as I was telling you guys before we came on the air, it's a testament to the rugged construction of those ships. Iowa was able to deploy about 8 weeks later to the Baltic Sea, which is really impressive after suffering a catastrophe of that magnitude. All of the ships are now museum ships. Iowa was the last to find a home in it, but it's out at San Pedro, California, so in the greater Long Beach area in Southern California. I have not visited it since it's been there, but apparently it's doing quite well. New Jersey is in Camden. Wisconsin is in Norfolk. And of course, Missouri is out at Pearl Harbor as part of the World War II monument.
And Jim, I've always read about these battleships. And one of the exaggerations, certainly, but it's consistent with the information I had, is that it was pretty much unsinkable from any gun out there. I think they were bragging about a nuclear weapon at one point. Is it that well built? Is the steel that thick?
It's pretty. I mean, it's pretty regularly built. Any ship is going to have a trade-off between armor, speed, and protection. I mean, parts of the ship are extremely well protected. In particular, the ship was basically built around what we call the armored box, which enclosed all the engineering spaces, so the fire rooms, engine rooms, and so forth, as well as some of the fire control spaces as well. So the bridge was at the top of a huge. It looked like a bank vault. The bridge was at the top of what we called the citadel, which was about 17 inches of armor plate thick. The gun mounts were heavily armored and so forth. I know that, today it would be much more fragile simply because if you look underneath the ship, that's only about 2 inches. I think if memory serves, that was about 2 inches of armor, which is something that certainly a deep diving torpedo could plunge through. The superstructure was not nearly as heavily armored, so you could pepper it with lighter gunfire and so forth. So I think you're right. I think we always we sort of overhyped them. They were very ruggedly built, but there's no such thing as an unsinkable ship.
Gordon, you have a question.
So Jim, every once in a while, people talk about bringing back an Iowa class battleship into the fleet, and actually, it was done once, I believe. Why wouldn't the Navy do it now? What are the impediments that prevent that?
Well, it was done once. They were brought back. Hall 4 came back in the 1980s. I served in Wisconsin myself, and in fact, we were at the local TV station in Norfolk. We were at sea doing gunfire stuff in the same general vicinity as Iowa, and the local TV station in Norfolk reported initially that a U.S. Navy battleship had blown up out at sea. And of course, panicked the heck out of the crews and families of both of those ships. So that was a less than fun day. As far as bringing them back again, they're simply old. I mean, we're commemorating the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. They were mothballed for a long time after the Korean War, but it's at some point chronological age matters as well. Those were difficult ships just because of aging components and so forth. And that was 30 years ago over 30 years ago now since they've been decommissioned. I just don't think it's a going concern. President Trump during his 2016 campaign filmed a segment on board Wisconsin and mentioned that we might bring them back, but I think his advisors. Just apprised them of the realities of the situation.
Do they teach this at Annapolis? What happened to Iowa?
I sure hope so. I don't spend as much time in Annapolis as I would like to. I sort of doubt it. It could be part of the ethics curriculum, but I just don't know. We certainly don't teach it at the Naval War Colleges, as best I know. I've certainly never encountered it, which is one reason I periodically come back to it, just to remind everybody how not to respond to a disaster if you're in senior leadership.
April 19th, Jim tells me. April 19th, 1989. Jim Holmes, Professor Jim Holmes of the U.S. Naval War College, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.